You can't miss the sovereignty of God. And this morning, you're going to be blown away. I promise you, you're going to be blown away by the accuracy and the precision of the prophecies of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who but a sovereign God can give details about the future and have every detail come to pass?
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way.
Last week, Pastor Grant showed how the sacrificial, atoning death of Christ has opened up the way into the holy presence of God for all who would worship Him in spirit and in truth. This week, Pastor Grant begins a new series on Bible prophecy that asks the question, where on earth are we headed? Please turn in your Bibles now to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24 and verses 1 through 8, as Pastor Grant begins this first message in the series entitled, Ready or Not, Here I Come. Here's Pastor Grant.
When I was a kid, one of the games we used to like to play was hide and go seek. Hide and seek. Anybody ever played hide and seek? I'm sure I realize there must be some others here. We used to hide behind anything. We'd hide behind trees. We'd hide under the bed. I don't know where was your favorite spot. You know, we may hide behind the shower curtain. We may hide in the closets. You'd hide almost anywhere you figure they wouldn't find you. And then, of course, we would have to pick a person by the name of what? It. I don't know if you had an it in yours. When I was playing hide and seek, we'd pick it. What a descriptive name, it. So we'd pick it. It would give a countdown. You remember that? And it looks like you all forgot about hide and seek already. It would give the countdown. And when I was a boy, the countdown would go like this. One what? Mississippi. Two Mississippi. Here I am in Jamaica. It would say, one Mississippi, two Mississippi. God help him if he stutters. But then, of course, others would cheat. Like somebody in the front row, my brother. One Mississippi, two Mississippi. But then by the time you got to 15 Mississippis, it would say what? Ready or not, here I come. Now I want to suggest to you this morning that Jesus is not counting off any Mississippis in heaven. But I'm here to tell you that one of these days, ready or not, Jesus Christ is coming. Amen. Ready or, and I want to ask you this morning, even before I really get started, if Jesus Christ were to come today, are you ready? Man, that's really the question of the hour. Are you ready if he were to come today? You know, we've been going through the Gospel of Matthew, and we're now at chapter 24. And so today I'm going to start a four-part mini-series that I've entitled, Where on Earth Are We Headed? And this series is based on Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24 and 25, where Jesus gives what's called the Olivet Discourse. And guess why it's called the Olivet Discourse? You don't know? Because he was on the Mount of Olives. All right? So he's on the Mount of Olives, and he gives what is called the Olivet Discourse, and it is the most important teaching that Jesus ever gave on prophecy. These are his most important teachings about his plans for the future. Now, some Christians feel it's a waste of time studying Bible prophecy. Some have said, why are we worrying about what's going to happen in the future? Why not let's concentrate about today? Why don't we deal with some of the practical things that impact us today? I know we love talking about the practical things that impact us today, but I'm here to tell you, if you're not prepared to die, you're not prepared to live. Get that straight. If you are not prepared to die, you are not prepared to live. And so we had better, listen, we had better hear what Jesus is saying about the future. Why is Bible prophecy so important? I have four things I want to point out. Bible prophecy is important because Jesus regarded it as important. Now, you need to remember that we're only 2 days before the cross. In 2 days, Jesus is going to die on a cross for your sin and for my sin. And Jesus, you can imagine, therefore, is concentrated on the things that are of great importance. And what does he take the time to tell us? He takes two chapters. He takes great pains to tell us about the future. And as Jesus is now 2 days from the cross, he tells us more about the future than he has told us in his entire ministry on earth. And I want you to realize, my friend, whether you're a Christian or not, we had better. This is so important to Jesus that it had better become important to you. But secondly, not only is it important because Jesus regarded it is important because it's a major component of the Bible. Dr. George Sweeting estimated that more than a fourth of the Bible is prophecy. Did you realize that? All those who want to throw out prophecy, over a quarter of the Bible is prophecy. In the Old Testament alone, there are over 1,800 references to the return of Christ. 1,800 in the Old Testament. In the 260 chapters of the New Testament, there are more than 300 references to the Lord's return. So listen, if we skip prophecy, we'd have to throw away a quarter of the Bible. And my Bible tells me that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. All scripture, including Bible prophecy. Bible prophecy is important because it's a major component of the Bible. But third, listen, don't miss this one. Bible prophecy is important because it demonstrates the sovereignty of God. You can't miss the sovereignty of God. And this morning, you're going to be blown away. I promise you, you're going to be blown away by the accuracy and the precision of the prophecies of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who but a sovereign God can give details about the future and have every detail come to pass? Prophecy shows the sovereignty of God because God accurately can state the future before it actually happens. What a mighty God we serve. Now, you know, there are a lot of preachers today who claim to be prophets. I think we've given rise to a whole industry of prophets. Folks who tell you what you want to hear. You're healed. Money's on the way. You know, in the Old Testament, there was a test for a prophet. Anybody remember what was the test of a prophet? A prophet had to be 100% accurate. Did you know that? A prophet had to be right every single time. You see, in the Old Testament, if a prophet was ever wrong, he was at risk of being stoned to death. You see, in our generation, if prophets realized that the test of a prophet was 100% accuracy, you wouldn't have these guys parading all over TV and all over the country claiming that they're prophets. For crying out loud, if I were to say somebody here is going to get better from cancer, guess what? Somebody would. In fact, some of you may have had a diagnosis that you may have cancer and there was an error. And so if I make that prophecy today, probably I should make it right now. And because probably when you go to the doctor, he says, you're better. And you say, Brother Brian, heal me. No, I didn't heal you. I didn't prophesy anything. This is just the reality. But a prophet of God cannot be wrong. Because God cannot be wrong. So this morning as we listen, I want you to know as we go into what the Word of God has to say in the next 4 weeks, everything we are saying is what God has to say, because the only thing that matters is what God has to say. But the fourth reason why Bible prophecy is important is because it challenges us to live for God. The objective of this series is not to satisfy our curiosity about the future. The objective is to motivate us to live well today. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, here's what the Word of God says. Beloved, now we are children of God. Now we, what? Come on now. What is it? It's not up on your board yet. It says, beloved, now we what? We are the children of God. Now, don't get carried away. It's only talking to those who have said to Jesus, Lord, I realize I'm a sinner, and that the Lord Jesus, you died for my sin, and I confess my sin, and I ask you to come into my heart and into my life to cleanse me of our sin. And my Bible tells me, he that cometh to him, he will in what? In no wise cast out. Listen, if you come to Jesus today, he'll save you. And so any man who is in Christ, my Bible says, is a new creature. Transformation has begun. And so it says, beloved, now we are the children of God. What an exciting thing that is. That despite my past, my friend, the good news is it doesn't matter what you have done, how you have messed up. The good news is that you can become a child of the living God this morning. Through faith in Jesus, a transformation can happen in your life. And it says, beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. Listen, I want you to know a change is coming. Amen. A change is coming. He says, we don't know what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Oh, Brother Henry, we're going to look like Jesus. Amen. Amen. We're going to be like him. But listen, here's what it goes on. It says, it goes on to say, and everyone who has this hope in him, what? Purifies himself just as he is pure. Listen, anyone who is clinging, anyone who's holding on to this hope that one day we're going to be like Jesus. You see, some people say this is just pie in the sky. Nah. This business about going to heaven is a transformative hope. This Bible says anyone who really has this hope purifies. It helps us to live different. C.S. Lewis wrote, if you read history, don't miss this quote. If you read history, you'll find that the Christians who did most for the present world, listen, are you with me? The Christians who did most for the present world were those who thought most about the next. In fact, as I just said that, my mind flashes back to some cases in history where everyone had run away from some of these cities because of the plagues that were killing everyone. And the only people who stayed to help the sick were the Christians, because the Christians knew that if they died, they would only go to heaven. In fact, you watch on the Ebola, with the drama with Ebola, you're seeing it in our generation where Christian missionaries are saying, I am willing to go, because they are the ones that are knowing that if they die, they'll go to heaven. And listen, the people who realize where they're going are the people who are willing to live a different life. If you really got this hope locked in, it changes you. But C.S. Lewis went on. Here's what he says. C.S. Lewis said, it's because Christians have largely ceased to think of the next world that they have become so ineffective in this one. Did you hear what he said? C.S. Lewis said, it's because Christians have largely ceased to think of the next world that they have become so ineffective in this one. I heard a preacher on the radio. I was not something anybody told me. I heard him. And this preacher said, I'm tired of those preachers who talk about walking the streets of golden heaven. He said, I'm sick and tired of these preachers talking about heaven and walking the streets of golden heaven. And the preacher said, I want my gold now.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's message. You can listen to or download this broadcast or view a DVD of the complete message by visiting our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org.
Hello, this is Elder Leroy Jackson. A six-hour seminar on how to share your faith with Jewish, Muslim, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, and others will take place on May 9th at Germantown Christian Assembly. This special event, Evangelism Explosion, consists of workshops that provide both formal and practical training in presenting the gospel. This is a marvelous on-hand training in real aspects of soul winning. First the training, then the witnessing, all on the same day. To find out more and sign up for the seminar, go to livinggodsway.org.
It's interesting, the book of Revelation, a book devoted to end time prophecy, leads off with these words, Revelation 1:3, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy, he says, and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. Notice, this is the only book of the Bible. Do you know this is the only book of the Bible that makes this commitment? It says, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things written in it. There is a special blessing in store for us who take the prophet's prophetic word of God seriously. So I'm trusting that you'll take note of that and don't miss the special blessing God has for us in the upcoming weeks. But I want to jump to our passage here in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24. Jesus leaves the temple and he heads to the Mount of Olives and he speaks to his disciples. And here's what he says in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, verse 1 and 2. You can look in your Bible with me because Jesus left the disciples. He's walking away when his disciples came to him and called his attention to the buildings. The disciples showed him the spectacular temple. And Jesus says, do you see all these things? I tell you the truth, not one stone will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down. Now, this was a tough pill for the disciples to swallow. And for you to understand what's going on here, I have to give you a little bit of background. Because the temple in Jerusalem was the crowning work of King Herod. Herod wanted to ensure, no, try and get the picture. King Herod wanted to ensure that his name would live for eternity. And what he did, he went around creating some incredible buildings. And the crown jewel of King Herod's architectural development was the temple in Jerusalem. In fact, so those of us who were in Israel a couple years ago, we remember seeing some of the ruins of his palaces at Caesarea and Masada. But of course, there was no temple for us to see. So the crown jewel was gone. He said, this was no longer Ezra's temple. Some of us who have read the Bible sometimes think this is the same temple that Ezra built after they had come from Babylonian captivity. This is not that temple. This is Herod's temple. And under Herod, the temple was greatly expanded. Listen, Herod working with all his crews, it took 46 years for them to build this temple at Jerusalem. And at the time Jesus is speaking, are you with me this morning? If you're with me, say amen. At the time they're building, the temple is regarded as one of the greatest buildings in the then known world. And so for the disciples to hear Jesus saying that not one stone would be left on another seemed an incredible stretch. You put yourself in the picture. This is the most magnificent building in the world. And Jesus is talking about not one stone. Did you realize that most of the stones weighed over 100 tons? Do you realize that were stones? I did a little work here. Did you realize there were some stones in that temple that weighed over 500 500 tons? One stone? I mean, some of these things that they did back then blows your mind. But Jesus looks at this incredible, monstrous temple. And he says, not even one stone is going to be left on another. And the disciples are almost like, are you for real? So Jesus finally got to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples decided, it's time for a talk. Jesus, it's time. Let's get this one sorted out. And so Jesus sits them down. And in verse number 3, the disciples sits him on the Mount of Olives and came to him privately. Tell us, they said to Jesus, when will this happen? When will this thing about the stones be? When is the temple going to be destroyed? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Notice there are three distinct questions the disciples are asking, which gave rise to three key prophecies. Number one, when will the temple be destroyed? Number two, what will be the sign of your coming? And number three, what will be the sign of the end? Three major prophecies, and we're going to deal with all three of these prophecies today. No, not today. Don't worry, we're only going to deal with one. When will the temple be destroyed? That's all we're going to talk about, the prophecy regarding the temple. Now, to get the details about what Jesus had to say about the temple, we're going to have to turn to Luke 21. Because in Matthew, it's not recorded for us. Some of you know that there are these, what you call the synoptic gospels, that deal with some of the same things. And you'll find that the Spirit of God caused that some of the gospel writers said, told you a part of the story, and another gospel writer tells you the other. So if you want to understand the total picture, you got to look at what all the gospel writers have penned. And Luke's gospel, chapter 21, is where we find the answer Jesus gave. And just to help you realize it's the same story, look at verse number 5 of Luke 21. Some of these disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and with gifts dedicated to God. But Jesus said, as for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down. And they said, teacher, when will these things happen?
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to Him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I am a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. We trust this was a real encouragement to you. If you made a decision for Christ today, or if we can be of any spiritual encouragement, please contact us. Counselors are available to respond to your questions and to send you resources that will help in your walk with Christ. You can reach us weekdays at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550, or by visiting our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org.
Living God's Way is the broadcast ministry of the Germantown Christian Assembly, located at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. and for Tuesday night community connections every Tuesday at 6 p.m. And now, on behalf of Pastor Brian Grant, Steve Washington, and our entire church family, This is Taylor Noble reminding you to tune in same time next week for another edition of Living God's Way.